that you want to lavish upon us your grace, your love. And Lord, we ask today that we would not leave here. No one would leave here today knowing only that they're sinners, but also that they're saints, that they have been purified, made holy, sanctified by your blood. Lord, may we leave here knowing that even though we have one foot in this world, we also keep our eyes focused on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. Keep our eyes focused on the church triumphant, where we belong, where even the angels bow before you, where you are our light, where there's no more hunger, no more thirsting, no more sadness, no more pain, but only eternity in your very presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. All Saints' Day. All Saints' Day is kind of an interesting day, and it very seldom shows up on Sunday. Usually it's during the week because it's always November 1st, right? And it's an amazing day because so many of us look at saints and we get a kind of a distorted view of saints, don't we? Because some in Christendom worship saints, venerate saints, pray to saints, all these things. And quite frankly, I believe the saints are like Revelation. I'm going to read it to you in a little bit. Like Revelation talks about it, they're focused on Jesus. So I always tell people, you know, when I pass from this life into the next, you know, if the Lord doesn't return before it's my time, I want you to understand, I am not going to be looking down on you. I have better things to look at than the sinful life that we live in this world. I'm going to be focused on Jesus. Because I believe, just as we kind of experienced this glimpse of it in our worship today, I believe being in the presence of God, the creator of the universe, the creator of all things, and pure love is going to be so amazing that I'm not going to take my eyes off of it. I'm not going to want to look at what's going on in this world. So I'm sorry if you're thinking I'm going to be watching over you. I'm sorry, because that's Jesus' job. And he's pretty good at it. So I'm going to be focused on him, okay? But we get this idea that of saints that we're almost kind of embarrassed to say that we're saints. I was going to do this, but then I realized I hadn't preached a sermon yet, but I did it for Paul here. I said, Saint Paul, receive the body. Because we are saints, right? Each one of us. That's the truth of all saints. We are ultimately transformed by Christ to be saints, people made holy by the blood of Christ. When you receive the words of forgiveness today, you are a saint. When you receive the sacrament of Christ's body and blood with all of your senses, you are a saint. You are still a sinner and a saint at the same time. Isn't that hard to understand? Wouldn't a God that is so much more amazing than us, his thoughts so much higher than us, wouldn't he just kind of do something like that? Say, you're a sinner and the saint at the same time. You're in the church militant, at the same time you're in the church triumphant. That's confusing. And yet it's essential to understanding what it truly means to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, to be transformed, to look at things from God's perspective rather than our perspective. Amen? So when we are transformed, and that's why this text is so amazing from 1 John chapter 1. Look, or chapter 3, sorry. Look at these powerful words. Let me get my reading glasses. Look at these powerful words that we see here. It says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. Now, wouldn't that be just enough if he just stopped there? So that we should be called children of God? See what kind of agape, what kind of love the Father has given. Now, I want you to know something. This word given up here, this has been translated in so many different ways because it just does not sound sufficient to say given. Just doesn't. So if you read different translations of the Bible, they're going to take this didomai and they're going to, or didomi, and they're going to try to change it in such a way as to impress upon you that it is so much more than just giving. Because you know, you can give something to somebody, but just the few words that, and the few ways they've tried to explain this. For example, the one I like is lavished. Because I think that's a word we don't use very often. I think it has a real impression, doesn't it? That it's ongoing, it's an abundance, and it's an amazing gift, right? God lavished on us. But other words might be used, it's kind of a majestic word, it's kind of a royal word, is bestowed. If you're using the Queen's English, it's bestowed. When you're knighted, it's bestowed upon you. Right? It's something that is extravagant. It's something that is given, but it's given with an amazing heart, with an amazing abundance. So see what kind of love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And then I like this because you know how hard it is for us when we're in the church militant, when we're dealing with our sin, when we're dealing with our failures, when we're dealing with the people who always like to tell us how bad we are in the world around us, how the world is so messed up and how things are so messed up. And so we can hear it, but then he repeats himself, doesn't he? He says that we should be called children of God, and so we are. That sounds weird. I mean, he just made a statement. Shouldn't it just end with that? That we should be called children of God, period. Exclamation mark. I put the exclamation mark in because I think it matters. But John, in order to impress upon us that this is important, says, and so we are. It's kind of like a kid who's just got this need to repeat himself. I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. You probably never experienced this, right? Sorry. But it's almost like you need to repeat it in order to make it sound, to get it through our thick skulls, that this is the reality. So we are children of God. When we're going through our life as sinners, as people that failed to hold up to the mark, as people who know that we should do things differently and still fail to do them, how many of us are in that category? You should be here if you're in this category. This is a good place to be if you're in this category. When you know you're supposed to do something and you don't do it. That's a life story. That's right. And why does this matter? It matters because many times people get disillusioned when they're in the church militant, which is what we call this life that we have as sinful. Can you say this for me? Militant. Can you say that? I know it's not politically correct. I just want this side to say militant. Just this side here, because these guys are kind of falling asleep here, and I can't have that. Militant. Can you say that? Militant. Okay. Can you guys help me out here? Can you, on this side, you seem a little bit more lively. Can you say triumphant?
Triumphant.
Okay. So I want you to understand this. This is the dichotomy. When we only think about ourselves as sinners, unworthy, failures, people who are struggling in this world and seem to just not be able to make it, seem not to be able to understand and get confused and even are lonely. We are struggling because we are sinners in the church. No, you're not convincing me. I'm telling you, you got to work on this. The church, militant. But when you realize who you are, when you know that you are children of God, when you know that he has prepared a place for you, when you know he has called you by name and he has put his mark on you, and you are a child of the living God, and you are more than what the world tells you are. You are more than what people say you are. You are more than what Satan says you are. When you know that, you belong not only to the church, but you are part of the church. Good job. Yay. Okay. Now that's the dichotomy, right? How do you live that? One foot in the church, one foot in the church. It's hard. But that's the amazing gift that God has given to us. That's his promise. That's why Revelation is so important. Let's go next one. Sorry, next slide. We are children of God. The world does not know us because the world did not know him. We are pure because he is pure. We are changed. We are transformed. It changes the way we view things around us. We know the end of the story. We know that the church militant is all there is. We know this world is not all there is. We know that we belong in the church. That's our citizenship. And so therefore, moving on. Oh, that's really hard to read. Let's just keep moving. Next one. There. Therefore, they are before the throne. This is what I read at the beginning of service. If you were here when we were worshiping, it was that wonderful scene where even the angels are, in our modern day, angels get a good rap, don't they? Angels are looked up to. Like, people really like angels. It's funny because they were created by God to serve God. But anyways, they get good screenplay. Except for there's a new thing about an angel. Anyways. A new thing coming out about an angel. But most of the time, people look up to angels. And yet, in this passage of Scripture from Revelation 7, it says, even the angels are bowing before Christ, the elders, the four living creatures. And they're bowing before them because this is how amazing it is. And this is what the result of being transformed and seeing things from the perspective of the church? This is what it looks like. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, and the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Isn't that awesome? What an amazing picture. That's true transformation. It takes us from just being in the church to being truly in the church. You're getting a little weak there, guys. In the church. Yes, amen. They're kind of jealous, you know. You are. Sorry, next time I'll pick that side. But anyways, so to be transformed isn't really important because it changes our whole perspective. It allows us to understand who we are in the midst of the changing circumstances. Now, just go to the next slide, please. This is, okay. Because it changes our perspective, and it's not logical, but transformational discipleship that we're after. It's recognizing that we are not just in the church, but we are truly in the church. So when we hear these words from Matthew 5, which are totally inconsistent with the world, right? When it's always amazing to me, this is Jesus' primary sermon. This is a sermon that if we did things like candidate, which we don't, thankfully, but if we did candidate, you know, there's churches where the pastor goes around and he has to preach before they call him. You know, we don't do that in the Lutheran church, but they do that in some churches. And they always have a really good sermon in the bag, you know what I mean? Yeah? And you know, and I'm always thinking to myself, this is not the way to do things, Jesus, because he starts out his greatest sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, he starts out by putting out this really, really, really contrarian type passage of scripture, right? He just turns things upside down. It doesn't make logical sense. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Really? Come on. Just think about this. How many people go around and say, I am so blessed because I am poor in the spirit? No? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. How many people are excited about mourning? I'm not even excited about regular mornings. Right? Blessed are the meek. Who's excited about being meek? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Now, is that not, you know, I wouldn't lead with this. I bet you my homiletics prof would have said, save this. Don't lead with this. Because really, right from the get-go, Jesus is stepping up and saying, if you're going to follow me, you're going to be contrary. You're not going to just be people that are just slaving away like the people in the church. But you are truly going to be contrarians. You're going to be different from people around you. You are going to be people who are going to be persecuted, people who are going to be looked at with, you know, these funny looks like, why are you doing this? Ever get looked at like that? Like, what is the matter with you? Why are you doing this? Because you have citizenship in the church. You're going to be different. That's part of what it means to be a Christian. It means that you are going to be different. And yet he says we're going to be blessed because of it. Blessed when people revile us and persecute us and say all kinds of evil falsely on his account. He says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You see, when we understand this, when we understand who we are, when we understand we are children of God, when we understand that we are not part of the world because the world did not know him, so it doesn't know us. That who we are has not yet appeared. When we understand what it means to be part of a covenant community where the Father gives us our identity and out of our identity flows our obedience. When we recognize what it means to be people of the kingdom, where the King gives us his authority to speak in his name and out of that flows his power to do so. When we understand these things, we are weird. We're weird. Because we have one foot in the church, and yet we have one foot in the church. I hope people don't ever misunderstand what it means that we are sinner and saint. Because you know what? We should praise God that we're both. We should. Because when we recognize our sin, it forces us through the power of the Holy Spirit to seek our Savior. And when we receive our Savior, we receive also our Lord and Master who guides us to what it means to be a child of God. That's why I pray you come back and you be part of an accountability group and a life group, because it's really important that you have accountability in your life so you know that as a child of God, you're going to be always having to change that perspective, because it's very easy to get disillusioned when you're in the church, because you forget you're also in the church. May we never forget, sinner and saint, made holy by the blood of Christ, forgiven, changed, transformed by the power of the gospel. Amen. We have somebody who wants to share. Roger.